as always, it's good to be in front of you again. I ask that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. I said, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being an awesome God. We thank you for being you. I thank you for making me who I am. I thank you just for everything that you've done. I ask that you decrease me and increase your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Breathe on me. Shine on me. That song, it did something. It said something to, it should have said something to all of us. Right now I ask, have you ever faced what seemed like a hopeless situation where you tried everything and everything you did just didn't seem to work? And during this time, it seemed like the odds were stacked against you and you just wanted to give up, like your back was just against the wall. Have you ever experienced something like that? Guess what? Here in today's text, we find that the prophet Ezekiel was in the same situation, the same position that I just described. You see, here is where he was taken up in the spirit, and he was given a vision by God. Some may conclude that he was dreaming or daydreaming. I think we've all daydreamed before. Just staring off into space, things just pop up in your mind and you just dream. I think this is what Ezekiel was doing. You see, this dream was not reality, but nevertheless, it was something in this dream that he saw. He said, the Spirit took him down in the valley. The valley is the lowest part, so he had to be high. In this valley is where he saw a pile of dry bones. You see, as he looked around, all he saw was death. Dry bones, lifeless bones. God wanted Ezekiel to know that one day there would be revival in the land. First, let me explain what revival means for today. It means the improvement in the condition of something. And then God goes on and poses the question to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Some of us may find ourselves in situations just like Ezekiel that involve strange situations today. You see, here in 2017, there are valleys of dry bones that you yourself may be experiencing. Your valley of dry bones may not include the ones of the Babylonian exile, but your dry bone could be trying to take care of the loved ones who are sick. Your valley of dry bones could include a struggle with depression. Your valley of dry bones may include something that you can't even describe to me. But you may be experiencing your valley as well. Your valley of dry bones could be when you stare at yourself in the mirror and you don't realize or recognize who you even are. Well, we all have had some dry bone experiences, and I'll be honest, I've had my share. You see, God invited Ezekiel to examine the dry bones in verse 2. And then God took him on a tour of the valley. And Ezekiel saw a lot of scattered bones on the Florida Valley that looked like they had been there for a very, very long time. Ezekiel is in this strange place wondering, why would God ask what seems to be a very strange question, as if these bones, these dry bones, can even live? They looked lifeless. And at the same time, Ezekiel is thinking, God, why would you ask me when you are the one that knows everything? Ezekiel knew it was impossible for human power to revive these bones. You see, here we all are in our dry bone valleys, looking and wondering, what is God doing in our lives? Wondering, God, where are you when my back is against the wall? And you are asking me, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel was thinking, really? The word of God was a promise to cause breath to enter into the lifeless bodies. You see, this act of breathing, breath of life, it took me back to Genesis with the creation of man, when God breathed the breath of life. The dry bones represented the people's spirituality and the dead situations that they were in. You see, God wanted to breathe his Holy Spirit into the people. You see, God knows all. God knew all. So again, I can only imagine what Ezekiel was thinking. You know, I find it interesting that God poses the question. God didn't say dry before bone in verse 3, as he did in verse 4. He just said, can these bones live? But later in the text is where we find out that these bones were dry. So my first point to you is that it is not always what it appears to be. The text tells us that these bones were dry, and that on the outside it looked like they were dead. They were dead, and that death was all around the valley. So the first take on this is that the bones were dull and lifeless, as I said, and would never live again. So before I go on, I had to go and get an understanding about bones. You see, what I found was that the inside parts of a bone are hollow. They are filled with something called bone marrow. The bone marrow is the spongy tissue inside the bone. Next, I had to get a basic understanding of what the function of a sponge is. A sponge draws in a current of water. It extracts the nutrients and the oxygen. So you may be wondering, what does it have to do with this text? Well, I'll tell you. With knowing the makeup of bone, it could only mean one thing, that there had to be some sort of moisture deep inside this bone, down deep in the marrow, where the spongy-like tissue is, because if a sponge draws that water, these bones were not dry. They were dry, but they were not of ash. So it had to be moisture somewhere. And that translates to there had to be a sign that life was possible. You see, if the bones were dry, then there would be a pile of ash. And then you would have a valley full of ash and not bone. So this tells us that there must still be something going on very deep inside that bone. And this tells us that it's not always what it seems, and the appearance is not always the reality and that we could indeed be dreaming. What we see is a valley of dry bones, but what we know is that God is doing something that we can't see. And when you are doing nothing, I promise you, God is up to something. When we see dry bones, you see, I think, and no, you know what? I know. I had to go back and think about it. I have an aunt, and a chicken bone stands no chance with her. And I always wondered, and it wasn't until this morning when I thought about that pile of ash. She will take the bone, and she will gnaw and suck on that bone until the marrow, till it's just devoured. That's what it looks like. But she sucked the moisture out of his bone. That's what is happening here. You see, what we see is a valley of dry bones, but what we know is that God is doing something. I want you to know that it is not always what it appears to be, because we read that God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. In this situation, it's key for me to tell you that as you hold on to your hope, it is also your responsibility to spread hope. So I pose the question to each one of you today. Where have all of the prophets gone? I had to read a book by Marvin Mickle entitled, Where Have All the Prophets Gone? And in this book, he explains all of the distractions that we have in our life. There's politics. We have praise fest. We just have different things that takes our focus away. And we forget that we have an obligation to prophesize the truth, to even speak the truth, and that we have the power to deliver and to set free. This is why we are holding on to our hope. We too are responsible for showing others what hope looks like. Recognizing that we are evidence that God has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. And that we have been through some things, but we look better than what we've been through. We went through some things, and the remnants of what we went through are not on our life right now. Some say that there are bones that are dry, and that our hope is gone. And I ask, who are they? We struggle in life with what we say. We want, with what we want them to think, with what we want them to do. Again, I encourage you to hold on. Again, who are they? They are the ones that need you. They are the ones that are looking for hope within you. They are the ones struggling like you, but can only judge you. You have to have hope to go beyond. It is up to you to prophesize and speak life into a dead situation. It's the scripture that tells us that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. So watch what you say, and in time, I ask that you speak life into your situation. I say, stop saying that I'm sick or that I have a physical ailment. Because we all know that God is a healer and a deliverer. I ask for you to watch what you speak over your finances, whatever you speak over your family, over your own life. Because the power of life and death is within you. So hold on to your hope and speak life back into your dry bones. So going back to the text, Ezekiel is there and he obeys and speaks to the bones. And the great thing about this is when the power of his words hits the air, it hits the winds, there was a violent shaking of the ground. In the word it says it was an earthquake that causes the bones to start to reassemble. And we just sang it earlier. The foot bone reconnected to the ankle bone. And that ankle bone reconnected to the leg bone. The leg bone reconnected to the thigh bone to the hip bone to the backbone to the shoulder bone, and the shoulder bone to the neck bone. And back in church camp, we would always say the neck bone to the head bone. But we were kids, we didn't know any better. But the best part about this, what he started to see, was flesh developed. Skin covered the flesh. Breath started to enter the body. He now saw individuals in front of him. These individuals looked like an army. So I'm here to tell you that the sudden violent shaking that Ezekiel felt, guess what? It's also coming into your life. That dead place that you see God moving again, guess what? It's on his way. I promise you, have hope, have faith. Here in the valley of dry bones, I am inclined to believe that the lesson is that if you have faith, then bones shall rise again. God wants to breathe his divine Holy Spirit into our lives and to turn his church into a living army that will go out and bring victory, victory for Jesus Christ all throughout this world. You see, some may think it's absurd to have faith when you think or when you see that death is all around you. Do you have faith when you see that? When you know that it's around? That you won't survive something that you thought would cause you to lose your mind. So you may be wondering, what is the good news here? Guess what? There is good news. The reviving of the dry bones signifies God's restoration. Restoration. Think about it. Lives were restored. The vision, and most importantly, it showed that Israel's new life depended on God's power and not the circumstances of the people. You see, putting breath by God's spirit into the bones showed that God would not only restore them physically, but also spiritually. If God led the people of Israel through the impossible, you know, to cross the Red Sea and in the wilderness, you know, deliver bread from heaven and water by striking a rock, then he could surely do it for you and he can surely do it for me. Do you realize that with God's Spirit, anything is possible? Without it, your existence is just flesh and blood, no life at all. God's power changes situations, and it is essential for fresh hope in our lives. With it, no situation is hopeless. Without it, we are left to try to raise the dead on our own. God's power gives life and strength. You see, in Romans 4 and 17, it reads that it is God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So for us today, it's a simple message of hope and faith. The message is telling us that God is a God that offers new life. No matter how hopeless that you think the situation might seem, there is a God who restores life. So to you, my brothers and sisters, I say, we have a God that can make even dry bones rise again. Amen.